Well, we've been reading from the letter to the Hebrews for the last several weeks, but reading it in bits and pieces as we do, it's easy to miss the overall point of the letter. The point of the letter, which was not written to any particular community, as most of Paul's letters were, but is more like an open letter to the people of Israel after the time of Jesus, the overall purpose is to declare a new kind of access to God that began with Jesus, and to invite people to let go of all their old assumptions about the right and proper way to worship God. So it begins, this passage we read today. In Christ, we are receiving something that cannot be touched. And then both this passage and the larger letter as a whole go on to draw this contrast. We Hebrews used to have a faith that defined holiness in terms of things that could be touched. We could go to Mount Sinai and meet God in his holiness. The mountain was ablaze with fire and radiated the presence of God. We could go to the temple and burn sacrifices there. And the temple radiated the presence of God. But for the author of Hebrews, all of those things in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, the temple, the law, which was given on stone tablets, these were given by God as physical signs, which were meant to point us to God and not to be worshipped as gods. And yet, because the Hebrew people considered these places holy, the author suggests we built rules around who had access to them. The people had built rules around what should happen in this part of the temple and that part of the temple. They built rules around when certain things should happen and when they should not happen in order to keep the temple holy and not profane it. But the problem is that over time, all these rules and all of this attention to the holiness of the mountain caused people to start confusing the signs with the signified. In other words, they started to act as if the mountain itself was holy, as if the temple itself was holy, and began to protect those things at all cost when it was not the mountain or the temple that was holy, but God who is holy. The author of Hebrews is really trying to say in this letter, and particularly in this passage, listen, Jesus came and ushered in a new covenant and a new kingdom, a kingdom that is unshakable because it's not made of things that can be touched. And this means that we no longer have to physically go to the fiery mountain to meet God. Nor do we have to go to the temple to burn sacrifices, because through Jesus, we have direct access to God. So there is no need to protect that fiery mountain. You heard in the scripture today, if an animal even touches it, they will be stoned to death. No need to have those kind of protections. And you don't have to protect the tradition of burning sacrifices, because all of that has been done away with. The message is that we no longer need physical fire, because in Christ we have direct access to a God who is fire, a fire that burns away all the dross, a refiner's fire out of which gold can come, a fire that can transform us and make us into what we are meant to be. So the author of Hebrews is saying, for goodness sake, stop messing around with all the rules and all the practices as if those were the most important thing, but instead let the fire of God come alive in you. That's what this Christian life is all about. This message is repeated again in the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus heals a woman who's been crippled for 18 years. He heals her on the Sabbath day, a day on which no work was supposed to be accomplished, only worship. And the leader of the synagogue reacts not by saying, "Hallelujah, look at what this man is doing, the healing that he's bringing to our people. Look at this beautiful thing." But instead he says to the people who are coming to be healed, "Look, there are 6 days on the week in which you can be healed. Come back those other 6 days. This day is for worship." He could have even said, "Look, it's not my rule. It says right here in the Ten Commandments, keep the Sabbath day holy. This is what it means to keep it holy. Don't work." But we have to keep in mind what we heard last week in the gospel lesson, which is that Jesus did not come to bring peace, but division. It's similar to what Isaiah said a week or two ago. "I loathe your solemn assemblies and all your fancy order, when you put that above seeking justice and caring for the poor and for the broken. Don't put all your energy into that stuff. Put your heart and soul into feeding the poor, into welcoming the stranger, into clothing the naked, and then you will be making a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Then you will be a people that is after my own heart." In this gospel, we see this is the passion that Jesus is burning with, a desire to bring the whole world into union with the larger purposes of God. But we are not in union with God, not completely. And so that means that no matter who we are or where we are, he's going to upset the apple cart. His role is to divide us from things, from our old ways, from things that hold us back from really living in that union with God. And the more that we think our job is to keep the apple cart upright and things in the order that they've been in, well, we're going to be stressed by Jesus. This is not a feel-good sermon, if you hadn't noticed already. Rules and practices and traditions are there for a reason. That's the message that Jesus is trying to get to us, and it's not easy for us to hear. But the message is that sometimes those rules can suffocate the larger purposes of God, and we have to be willing to let go of some of them, to hold them loosely, if we're going to welcome the God who Jesus came to reveal to us. Now, we can think of St. Francis as an august institution in this community with a tremendous history, 50 plus years, that should be respected. And so we can look at that and we can say, well, that means that we need to keep this place respectable. Kids, don't bring your cookies in here. Don't spill your juice over here. Make sure that we keep it all nice and proper. But we are not an august institution. We are a place for people to come encounter the living God and to grow in relationship with that God and be united in mission, in loving the world with that God. And Jesus shows us that God is more interested in serving people and loving people back to health than he is in keeping order. So to the extent that we, all of us, and all of us do, have a sense of ownership in the well-being of this place, all of us are the manager in this story from the gospel. We are invested in keeping order, and we all do that to some extent. But to the extent that we focus more on that than on the spirit of love, of generosity, of service, that Jesus calls us to, then Jesus has some tough words for us. He calls the manager a hypocrite. He says, "Don't you realize that by walking around here enforcing all the Sabbath rules over against a healing, that you're misrepresenting God, as if God's primary interest is in keeping order?" He says, God's primary interest isn't order. It is loving the stranger, it's life, it's healing, it's Jesus getting down on his knees and serving the least and the lost. Now, the rules and our practices and our traditions may be there for a reason, but Jesus says they need to play second fiddle to love. So we need to be willing to depart from the rules on occasion, to hold them loosely. And we have to be willing to depart from a sense of propriety when love asks us to set them aside. Some of you know that I was a Methodist before I was an Episcopalian. And when I was in college, I was going both to a Methodist church on Sunday mornings and a Roman Catholic church on Thursday night, every Thursday night. So now you understand why I became an Episcopalian, because those traditions both merge in the Episcopal Church. In this Roman Catholic church where I went, the folk mass on Thursday night was just such a wonderful parish. They gathered up, they had a huge chancel, and they would gather around the table to celebrate the Eucharist. And in the midst of that Eucharistic prayer, where they're blessing and consecrating the bread and wine, they also invited everyone to share the prayers. That was when they did the prayers of the people. And they invited people to just speak up. What were their prayers? What were their concerns? Things they needed to pray about. And every week, without fail, there was a guy who would speak up, and he would go on and on and on and on about his prayer concern. Now, this young man had Down syndrome or some other kind of developmental disability. And you could see, like, every time this happened, the newer people in the community were kind of looking around, checking the faces of other people and checking the face of the priest to see if this was okay, you know, because it was just odd how it went on and on. And when they looked around, though, what they saw was a community of people who were just gazing at this man with smiles on their faces. And when he got done, every time they clapped and said, "Thank you for sharing." What a different kind of spirit. This is the kind of spirit that Jesus is talking about. It's union with that spirit of love and making that priority that we are called to do. So we have to ask ourselves, do we find ourselves spending time obsessing about propriety? Are we spending as much time obsessing about being loving to one another, on reaching out and healing? And if not, Jesus would say our priorities are not in order. Our priority is to love. A story is told of an encounter between a North African monk and his spiritual guide, one of the desert fathers who lived out in the deserts of Judea following the first century after Christ. The desert fathers lived as hermits, and they devoted their lives to prayer and meditation in an effort to seek perfect union with God. And people would come from all over the known world to sit at their feet and to listen to them and receive guidance and advice. So this monk from North Africa, while very devoted to his vocation, goes to see Abbot Joseph because he still desires for a deeper relationship with God. And he asks Abbot Joseph, "Father, I have kept my little rule and my little fast, my prayer, my meditation, and contemplative silence. I've done everything according to how I've been taught and told to do it. Now, what more should I do?" Abbot Joseph rose from his chair and stretched out his hands to heaven, and the monk saw fire dancing at the tips of his fingers. And Abbot Joseph said, why not become fire? This is what Jesus asks of us, not to keep the place neat and tidy, not to keep our churches respectable and august, but to become fire, to become alive with the love of God. So let's stop striving to be so perfect in keeping the rule. Let's let the love of God overtake us. Let us become fire. Amen.